Frank Sterling? Frank?
I'm coming. I was doing the unmute dance. How y'all doing?
Okay.
All right, Q, how you doing? Doing good, I hope.
Cool, Frank.
All right, well, I wrote a couple of notes down. First, good idea on the 10% thing. I know this, what I'm about to say is probably not your decision or nothing, but something we've all been talking about for a long time is getting some funds built up for the loan that we owe. So maybe an idea like this, like every fund drive, if something could be implemented, well, you're only in charge of KPFA, so KPFA would be great, and then get a little build up for the loan. And, of course, the PNB would have to see if the other stations would do it. So that's just an idea I'll throw out to you. And then I want to personally thank you for keeping the station together and things running. I've been listening when I can. And thanks for keeping the apprenticeship program together through the crisis here and the people safe at the station, because I know there's a lot of beliefs out there on what's right, what's wrong, and where you should go, where you shouldn't. But I know that we do have at-risk people around the station. So I haven't been there a long time. So just thank you for doing that. And then let's see. Also, about thanks for saying about the LSB, you know, trying to be peaceful, cohesive, and, you know, do some meaningful work together. And I'd just like to remind LSB members to follow that in your emails and stuff, because I've read a few emails out there that are kind of hateful and hurtful. And in fact, it's got some people really not even wanting to be on the LSB anymore. So, people, just be kind in your emails and contribute, rather than, you know, knock people down or whatever. Just follow that advice, Q's advice there. And then the news, the afternoon news, you did Sonali's thing, but any chance ever out there of another FSRN? I remember that was like a collective that worked pretty well, but I know how that happened and stuff. So if there's ever a chance of one of those. And then lastly, I would say
That was time.
Oh, I got to say my last one. It's only another two sentences.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I would just say about the station changes, I think that programming changes, just to help out, I think, like, a staff meeting where just an announcement would to the staff at the station. I know it's not possible now, of course, but and maybe in advance newsletters, the emails that you send out are great. Maybe some announcement there just to help ease the pain for people that feel it, you know, and that might just help break the ice on, you know, I'm going to make these changes coming up.
Okay. So we're
stuff like that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Frank, the first thing I want to address is the loan that you talked about. One of the things I'd like to say is from the moment that that loan happened, the first general manager's meeting that we had, we, the general managers all said on this call, what can we do? How can we budget for this so that we can start putting money aside to pay this off? And every time, and every person that was in that slot as executive director at that time told us, you don't have to worry about it. This is all taken care of. And we know better than that. We've been around. So, you know, we were terrified about this, because, we know the day is going to come just out of nowhere where we're all going to be in trouble again. We don't want to experience this whole Empire State Building all over again. So it's either going to be that, or they're just going to call up and say, give us $200,000 or give us whatever you have in reserve. And that's probably the way it's going to go down. As far as the apprenticeship program is concerned, I want to thank you guys, because it was the reason you wrote a great program so that we were allowed to make sure that you guys were able to do your thing on Zoom. So I appreciate that you guys really sat down and put something together that we saw was actionable and terrific, and that we knew that your apprentices would appreciate it, and it would keep the momentum moving forward. So that was great. So thank you for that too, Frank. But as far as the FSRN thing, that's a good idea. And that is something that we should be talking about in-house, that we could develop maybe with your program, and maybe, you know, we could figure out a way to have these graduates actually move into something that's more productive for all of us. So something to think about.
Great. Thank you. Some good ideas there, Frank. Thank you. Marilyn Langlois. Marilyn? Right. Are Marilyn there? Last call for Marilyn for now, I guess. I'll move on to the next one. Maybe she'll come back. Tim Lynch is next.
Quincy, I just want to give a big shout out to you, to the operations team, the engineering team, and everybody who's made it possible for us to stay on the air in spite of shelter in place, in spite of all the challenges. And not only just stay on the air, but there's been actual training that would have been easy. I guess the easy road would have been to say, oh, that in-person training we had scheduled that we can't do, we're not going to do it, but instead they made sure to do it remotely by Zoom and by video and do the exams remotely. And so the training went on, and so I'm just really pleased to see that there's additional training going on. Staff is being brought up to speed on all the policies and things. It's something that was sorely lacking over the years. So my hat's off to all the teams that are making all this happening. I have two questions, I guess. One is, while we're obviously still in shelter in place in Alameda County, probably till the end of May, what is the plan in terms of bringing people back into the station? As Frank mentioned, there are at-risk people, but there's also a lot of us trying, can't wait to get back in there. So I'm interested to hear what planning is going on for us to be able to do in-person programming and production at the station. My second question has to do with money. My understanding is that certain members of the Pacifica National Office now have signing rights over our bank account. How much have they, you mentioned that they sometimes ask to take money. Has there been additional monies transferred that have not been asked that they've just taken?
Now, the additional money hasn't just been taken yet. None of that's happened. It's just been phone calls, emails. We need to send this, there, this, that, and so forth and so on. So that's been kind of it's painless. Your other question about bringing folks back is I'm in discussions right now with NEDA, the HR people. They're putting together, there's a whole national policy that's being put together by a lot of HR departments, and we're all trying to figure out the one that's going to work best for us. We're supposed to get down to the nitty gritty of that by the end of the month, and really kind of lay out something. So we're basically going to, the policy we have now has been working. People are safe. We have no one that got sick. I'm real thrilled about that. We were able to move quickly. Thank goodness for the automation system and all those things that really clicked in. The reason why we had a head start on this, I should tell you, is it was because of the fires. When the fires happened, we had people with health issues that couldn't come into the radio station. So the remote thing started for us then. And we started having meetings about it, about, hey, you know what? This is really, we should really start really zeroing in on this. So we started buying equipment for the remote situation in case it started to happen. Then this happened. We expected, more fire season, more people work now. So it turned into this whole thing. And so hats off to Antonio and the operations department for the work they're doing, the training they're doing on this for people. What I really like about what operations has turned into is that it is helping develop people within the radio station who want to enhance their skills. So people can learn to be more than just a board op. You can learn how to be a great editor. You can learn how to become a producer. It's just because we're trying to offer all these skills to help people uplift what they're doing. Because, we want to see people grow within the radio station as well. And this is the best way because it pays off for all of us at the same time. Did I answer everything, Jim? Okay.
Thank you, Nancy. I saw that Marilyn Langlois was having trouble getting on for some reason. Is she unmuted, Sharon?
She can do her question through chat, can't she?
You guys, she took her hand down.
I think I took her hand down. That's what I've been doing when Christina calls on somebody, but I don't see. She does not, she's not muted. If she, I think she can talk if she wants to.
Marilyn,
let's come back to her.
Okay. So Sharon was actually next because she had to verbally put herself in there.
Okay. I just want to say, thank you, Quincy, as everyone has said, for all that you've done, to keep the station going, during this time. And also it's just amazing and impressive that we're, you know, doing okay financially during the fund drive. I just want to say I really appreciated your comment about how we don't all agree on programming because, of course, you know, I often don't agree with the programming on KPFA since right. I send these emails. And I really appreciate, you know, how you've directed KPFA at least to be, you know, to be financially stable during this time. And so I understand that even though I personally have often, you know, sent you emails about programming, I just want to say that I appreciate your overall, you know, leadership on the programming. And the other thing I wanted to just say was I really also, I'm really glad to hear that the apprentices are getting training in copyright and the other things that you mentioned in the apprenticeship program because, you know, I am an intellectual property attorney. I deal with copyrights and things like that. And it's so important to make sure that copyrights are not violated because it can cost quite a bit of money. For, you know, very, what seems relatively minor and innocent violations. So really glad to hear that that particular aspect is being taken care of, because it's so important in this modern age. Maybe people don't know, but there's actually search engines that will go out and search websites and crawl the internet for copyrighted images. And then they'll send demand letters demanding like $10,000 or $20,000. So just wanted to say congratulations on doing that. Really happy to hear that's happening.
Thank you, Sharon.
Can I say something to Sharon? I mean, I just want to thank Sharon. Sharon has, ladies and gentlemen, Sharon has saved us tens of thousands of dollars on some of the mistakes we've made on the website by putting up things without doing the thorough checking. And so whenever we get a letter from some of these people yeah. saying they want to $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 for the fact that we use one of their photographs, we run to Sharon, and she saves the day for us. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you, Quincy. You're welcome.
Our pro bono, Sharon.
Yeah, and keep your emails coming, Sharon. I mean, we all enjoy those things, so don't worry about that.
Will do. Okay.
Sabrina's next. Sabrina? She seems to be, is she muted? She's muted. Sabrina, can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Quincy, thank you so much. And I appreciate the opportunity to bring the new climate show to KPFA during the morning drive time. It was an absolute honor to be asked to do that, and it's been actually a good time. So learning a lot, and truly appreciate it, and looking forward to moving forward and moving that show forward and making it better. And let's see, I just want to say thank you, Quincy. It's been 6 years.
Wow.
And it's been nothing but an uphill battle having you as our general manager. I've been at KPFA for 10 years, so to see these changes happen has been phenomenal. It went from, I don't think this place is going to ever change, to, wow, it can change, it has changed, and it's just gotten better and better. And being the flagship station, being the mothership, and being the foundation of the foundation, you're definitely leading the charge, and hopefully the other stations. I see that there's other, PNB members that are on this call waiting for public comment. I hope you're all taking note to what we're doing here, in the Bay Area. So thank you, Quincy. Appreciate your leadership. And Sharon, thank you for the pro bono. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Chris is next. Chris Corey.
Oh, sorry. Fumbling with the mute button. So I just had two comments about some of the financial issues that were raised by when money's transferred out of a station, it goes into an intercompany account, which is a balance sheet item. And unfortunately, because Great Plains doesn't generate a balance sheet until the fiscal year is closed, those those transactions are kind of difficult to observe. They have to be noted when they're sent to NEDA, and NEDA didn't request noting on them until I think April. So that stuff will get taken care of so that it becomes visible to the entire organization shortly, I would imagine. The other thing I wanted to note is that listener revenue has actually been pretty good across the network. Just for those who aren't aware, it's been lower in some stations, but I think the majority of the stations have actually had increases in listener revenue. Where we've been really lacking is bequests for the first 6 months. And that's where the major revenue changes have come in the individual stations, particularly KPFA and KPFK. So I just wanted everybody to feel a little bit uplifted about how things are going year to date. We're halfway through the year, and although we don't have books for a whole entire month of the coronavirus shutdown, up until that point, it was actually looking pretty good. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And Susan DeSilva's next.
Thank you so much, Quincy, for coming and giving your excellent reports every time. It's always, it always opens my mind to things that I wasn't aware of. I wanted to say just two things. One on FSRN, I was a board member of FSRN for over a decade and, right to the end. And, if someone wanted to, start up again, it would be a huge effort, but the reporters are still out there. We had 250 reporters all over the world who used to send in stories, so those reporters might be very interested if something came about. I was really glad to hear about the orientation department and that people who are on the air getting all the information that they need, to do the right thing legally, et cetera. What I'm wondering about is how much help there is for if a community group, with people who aren't really savvy about radio, but have really good ideas and good resources, how a group like that would what kind of help would be available to help them get on the air the way other collectives have in the past, like Voices of the Middle East and North Africa or Pushing Limits, et cetera. Could groups like that still get on the air if they were trying to these days?
Yes. Usually it goes through me. Someone will pass me along a public service announcement or something from a group that they want to get on the air, but then we'll have a discussion about maybe we could get these people on the air on a show to expound on what they're doing. If you look at the front page of the website now with the mutual aid thing, those are all partnerships we form with a lot of these people. And partnerships that we started forming a year and a year and a half ago with groups because we knew down the road we wanted to get to this community sharing thing. And so once the FCC lawyer said, look, it's okay, as long as you're only doing 10%, you guys can do it. We thought this is where we need to be heading. And so the coronavirus actually kind of set this up for us. And I said, if we're going to do it, this is the time to do it. So let's throw it out there and see how it flies. And so far, it's been terrific. And as far as the FSRN thing that you were a part of, I'd love to talk to you about that because I think it's a necessary time to have a voice like that again, you know, and there's not a lot of good voices out there. And we need to kind of like Pacifica, I think that's one of the things that Pacifica should be doing. We should be like trying to craft this kind of a facility again, this kind of service that should be out there. That would feed all the radio stations and everything else that we do, but we really need the extra voices and the extra legs and the extra reporters, you know, to really expand on what we're doing to keep ourselves independent and different. Thanks for the question.
Okay, thank you.
I do see Marilyn's question in chat. If I could just read it now.
Yeah, because I don't know, we can't hear her for some reason. She doesn't appear to be muted here, but I don't know why we can't hear her. Go ahead and read
it. Let me read it. This is to Quincy. My question, since you can't hear me, Quincy, thank you for your presentation and your work. We look forward to fulfilling our duty to evaluate your performance in a constructive and collaborative way. And we will want to look at your job description and any employment contract you may have in order to get started. Two questions. You mentioned the Allegiance software to track donations and membership. Can you use that to automatically remind members when their membership is about to lapse so that they can renew with no break in membership?
Okay. Yes. Yes, that's the reason for it. I mean, that's why we had to get out of Memphis, because their system was whack and we really needed to get to a system that could really have a really smooth automated system that wasn't making mistakes. One of the problems we had with Memphis was people would pay after they've been reminded, and then they get another reminder anyway, and then they get another one. So things like that were happening. So that was one of the little, you know, things that we wanted to get away from. Okay, sorry. Question.
No, great. That's great. And then she just had a second part of her question. This is from Marilyn again. Secondly, you said Lydia asked you to send money several times recently. How much of that was for KPFA related purposes, like for lawyers to sort out the property tax issue and avoid the building going up for auction?
Almost all of it, except for money for Arthur Schwartz, that new lawyer that we have. We gave him $3,675, and I don't know why, but that was, you know, so anyway.
Okay. And I had put my hand up. So just, I wanted to say that, the money that's for property tax that, for the attorneys, that is a Pacifica matter, and the IED has stated so, that it's they who should be paying for it, she said, but that they don't have the money. So KPFA has the money.
Right. And Lydia, I asked Lydia for an update for this meeting so I could have something to say about the property taxes. So she called me last night and she said that she didn't have much of much information for an update herself, because she's waiting on the lawyers to tell her where the tax waiver is. And it's working its way, obviously, slowly now through the court system because of shelter in place. So right. She's waiting, but she also mentioned something about a bylaws amendment. I'm not really sure about what it is, that if it passes, it will shorten the incorporation process. And, you know, as we all know, the incorporation process was the reason why all of this nonsense happened in the first place.
Right.
So hopefully that's a good thing.
Okay. So just for clarity, for people who don't understand this, if people are confused, it is Pacifica Foundation who did the name change. It was only Pacifica Foundation who could follow through on the name change, not KPFA. That is why it is their prerogative and it's their responsibility. And I'll go ahead and go to Karina now.
Hi.
There you are.
Yeah, okay. Hi. Thanks for the whole presentation and all the update and all the great information. It's great to make contact for this, us new folks. And I very much take to heart your comment, for LSB members, especially us new folks, to be asking what are we bringing to the table? And I'll say that I went into this thinking I had things to contribute. It's been, I think for some of the newer people, because especially of the time, the moment, what's going on, it's been very difficult to feel like we're stepping in productively. Hard to feel like I can get caught up or get my bearings. I had hoped that the orientation program we had back in, I think that was supposed to be in February, would help that a little bit. It didn't really feel like it was focused on new member orientation. And I would just like to know what would your advice be to the new folks like myself, concretely to get plugged in I feel like the things I could bring to the table are not things that are part of these meetings or part of the discussions we've had. And so I'm questioning my role here. There might be others who are. And so I would like to know, how would you, speaking to us, what would you suggest?
Well, one of the things I always suggest is help with fundraising, because it's key to our survival, especially off-air fundraising. But I also would suggest for your own self, your own orientation, one of the best things to do is to, when we get a chance, is to come by the radio station to you know.
And that was talking to someone after the orientation, and that was definitely the plan. Unfortunately, everything's a little chaotic.
And I think people see the CKPFA differently once you get inside the door and you're sitting down and you're actually talking to different programmers and, you know, and everybody about what their concerns are and what they're interested in. When you see the passion that's performed in that radio station every day on so many levels, it's really inspiring. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, you put up with all the nonsense and stuff that we put up with, is because it's not about those people. It's not about that. It's about the people that come in the door every day there and do the right thing. My personal mantra is, what can I do today to make KPFA better tomorrow? That's it. That's what I'm hired for. I'm not hired to make friends or make everybody happy. I try to be the best manager I can, but you know, and it's hard to, here's the hard part. The hard part is to motivate people, but also to keep motivating people even when you can't give them what they want. I mean, so that's a tough job as it is, but what makes you happy is the payoff. The feedback we get from listeners and stuff, people telling us what a wonderful job we're doing, even under the constraints of, you know, what we're under, because it's always paycheck to paycheck with us practically. We really want to get away from that. So, I don't know. I think learning the culture of what really happens inside the building and the people that are in there, what they feel and what they're all about, what they're really trying to put forward into the community. Because a lot of people there don't make a lot of money, but they're there every day and they've been there for years, you know, putting out the right information and offering up independent voices and stuff. And I think that will have some sort of impact on you. And that will kind of like lead you probably down the right road as to, hey, what can I do? You know, what can I do?
Thank you. And hopefully this will be over in a while and you can go into the radio station, Karina, and I'd be happy to come and answer questions that you might have too. Or even we can talk by phone. So Donald Goldmacher is next. Donald?
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay. Christine Pepin?
Yes. Thank you, Christina. Hi, Quincy. I'm Christine, one of the new members, LSB, like Karina as well. So thank you for your updates and your report. Much appreciated. I wish I could see you as well, but it's okay. I just wanted to, I mean, there would be many things to say, but I think one of the most pressing things for me is that I would like to echo what Frank Sterling was saying about being given a heads up on programming decisions. I think this is one of the duties of the LSB as well. I mean, at least this is how I saw it. Wanted to join the LSB. And just to also respond to one of Karina's questions is this, I think we can also bring, each one of us bring something to the table. And according to the bylaws, I think the LSB has to work together with station management and station programming to make sure that, you know, station policies and programming decisions are made in a fair and equal and, you know, democratic way, which I don't necessarily see right now. So I'm a little concerned about this and I would like to have more information. And I was expecting some, you know, more feedback from you or some announcements regarding some of those programs. And I'm worried that we don't have a way, or I don't have a way personally, to communicate, you know, ideas, suggestions, giving my feedback to some programming decisions and programs that are currently on the air. And especially with, I know it's kind of chaotic right now because of COVID-19. So this definitely is a hurdle in addition to the rest. But I would like to see with you what mechanism we could put in place so that we have a more transparent way of talking about those programming decisions and asking questions and getting, meaningful responses from you. Thank you.
I'm going to jump in here just for a quick second, because any kind of decisions that are made about individual programs or programmers that involve personnel have to be discussed in executive session which we don't have scheduled for this one, but there, we could discuss some of those items in executive session, the reasons that were made for certain programs. I'll let Quincy go ahead at this point. We just don't talk about personal. We've been sued so many times. This foundation, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Just for my information, sorry, Christina, when you say executive sessions, is it closed sessions, including the LSB?
It's only the LSB. That's correct. It would be just delegates.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Quincy.
Well, I understand her, you know, anybody who's never been inside of a radio station or had to make programming decisions, and how fast things move in a radio station on a daily basis, where the program director and I, or the operations, all these things are happening, these different meetings and stuff. We work very quickly sometimes. Sometimes things have to be done very fast, and we don't have time to do all of that. You know, it's not that we're trying to hide anything. We're always trying to work in the right direction for what works best for the radio station. But it's not like, it's hard to explain to somebody who's never been in radio. I've probably forgotten more about radio than most of you people will ever know. I've been programming stations for 40 years, you know, so, and the environment of a radio station is very similar to watching one of those TV shows about newsrooms or whatever. I mean, it's fast and furious, and things have to be done on a quick and a fast level. But because these people are human beings that we're dealing with, we take our time, and consideration goes into a lot of this stuff about moves. I've been a KPFA for almost 6 years. I've only moved 2 shows.
Okay, thank you. Carol Wolfley is next.
Oh, thanks. What I wanted to thank you, Quincy, for the way that you have managed to balance community participation with well-produced, diverse, many different kinds of programs with different approaches. So it's not like one, like only a political perspective from one organization or something, but there's many, many different people, and some, and the great preempting that you did, showing like the widespread the Kavanaugh hearings and later on the impeachment hearings that brought in so much, and the way the engineering department has helped to do all that. And I think that people may not be aware that there are so many training programs. There's the upfront training program that where they bring in interns. The news department has interns. The internship training program for staff and new people that I know Antonio goes to different colleges. I helped him recruit people. And then we have all of our people working in outreach. So we have a lot of community connection, as well as these long-term, very dedicated, skilled people like Tim Lynch was helping people set up their home broadcasting studios. And I think it's important to remember that when decisions about programming are made, they're made, and I'm going to just show here, if I can, for you. Can you guys see it? This is the 2019 survey that was done for KPFA, and that KPFA did. And you can see all these programs. So when they're looking at the stats.pacifica.org, where how much listenership is on the air. They're looking at fundraising. They're looking at people's work performance. And, you know, they're not going to make public somebody falls asleep when they're on the air. Somebody is disrupting at the station. That is legally not a great idea to be making public. So I appreciate the thoroughness and the great management team that Quincy has put together at this time, and the great community outreach that we continue to build. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I'm not sure where Helen D is, but this is actually a moment for board members to be asking questions. It's a delegate, and there will be a moment In a while, there will be a time for public comments as well. So I'm going to move to, Shira hasn't had a chance to speak yet, so I'm going to go to her and then Frank. Go ahead, Shira. Shira?
Sorry about that. It's like,
no worries.
Literally, I kept touching it and it wouldn't like give me the mute thing. So annoying the app is. Anyway, hi everyone. I kind of wanted to just quickly reiterate that what somebody said, like Quincy, thank you for mentioning the idea that yes, we are asking you what you do, but equally we should be asking ourselves what it is that we do as board members. And I think that there seems to be some kind of mistake, whereby people become board members to actually be programming directors without any experience. You know, people who would have never been qualified to become programming managers or directors join the LSB to basically become programmers. And I think that somehow it needs to be made more clear that that is not the job of the board. And in fact, like you said, boards are supposed to, you know, every other board but this board I've seen or been on or been involved with seems to understand that they're part of fundraising efforts or, you know, maybe like oversight, but not, you know, they're not supposed to be doing the jobs of the professionals. And I just really, I apologize that you have to deal with people that seem never to understand the position, that they were dealt or they were, voted for. And so thank you for the job that you do and all that you deal with.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And congrats on the new baby, Shira.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Frank, you were up next. Let me explain to people again. Some people appear to be having trouble figuring out how to raise their hand. If you go down to the participants in the lower bar and click on that, it will bring a box up on the right-hand side of your screen. And then you go down to the bottom right-hand side of the screen and you click on raise hand. That's how the process is. If you're by phone, you press *9. So just to clarify. And Frank, you're up.
Hello again. Just a quick follow-up after everybody was done. Thanks, Quincy, for answering all those questions. Would you consider doing like the 10% thing or maybe one day of a fund drive goes into a special account as a small donation? I know it's not going to be enough for the loan, but like starting it off and setting the example. And you also said that at the beginning of the loan thing that a lot of managers, general managers got together and talked about it. Would you be willing to like have that conversation again since it looks like, I don't know whether it's the national level or, I mean, what is putting a hold on like somebody starting, even a small account just to have something going. That's my question, I guess. Would you consider doing like a one day of a fund drive goes to an account or a 10% thing? And would you be willing to, talk to the general managers? And lastly, before you answer that, I would just say for the staff thing about program changes, I don't think I want to really have like a big programming discussion. And if things are moving fast, your emails that you do send out, I think a simple one like that, you know, not trying to be confrontational or anything, just saying that even a simple email like, hey, y'all, things are moving fast. We decided to put this program in, you know. And then if people got an angry email, you know, you can just glance over it and push it aside or, you know, maybe someone has something good to say about it. But that's all I'm saying because I know there's a lot of issues about staff meetings and stuff. And I know sometimes people are abrasive at the staff meetings. And I wouldn't want it to be that way personally. But I think they still can be constructive, like an in-person meeting when it's possible or a quick email. That's it. Thank you again.
Hey, so Frank, the answer to your first question about the setting aside a day and all that stuff, that's done. It's in the books. It's going to be in July. We don't have the date yet, but we've talked about this with Lydia on the GM calls. So there's going to be a date in July where actually all five radio stations and the archives will be working to put together some sort of special programming to raise money for Pacifica. Specifically Pacifica.
So we could send ideas to you or should just as LSB members?
Lydia.
Lydia, okay.
You know, it's her thing. So it's going to, you know, send it to her. You know, we're all going to be brainstorming exactly how to do this because how do you make it sound different from when the archive comes on? You know, how do you make it sound different from when we're on as KPFA trying to raise money or KPFK? So it's going to have to be some real good brainstorming on this to come up with something unique. that will also make our listeners want to come out of their pocket.
Thank you. I'm told that Daniels is having a lot of trouble raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and call on Daniel.
All right. Thank you. I will address my emails to Q or Lydia. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Can you hear me? I think I'm unmuted.
No, we can hear you, Daniel.
Okay. I want to ask you a question about communication, how we can communicate with you. On several occasions, I and other people have written you emails when things come up, and have gotten no response. One case that I happen to think of is when this tax problem came up, and I wrote you an email asking about it, and the response was that you were out of town, would not be back for a week or 10 days, something like that. I never got a response. Other people, similar things. On one occasion, I and about half a dozen others signed an email to you, got no response. I think when Workweek Radio was taken off the air, something like 500 people signed a petition. I don't know if they ever got a response. But my question is this: how can we communicate with you? How can we talk to you, email you, whatever, and get a response?
You can talk to me through email by writing an email to me where we're actually about to have a discussion. I don't like being yelled at in emails. I especially don't like being yelled at by 500 people at one time in emails. I don't think I deserve that. I don't think I need to have to be harassed like that. And that's how I feel about it. I don't like the mischaracterizations about me about these things. There's a lot of that. So if somebody wants to write me an even level headed email, they usually get a response from me. But I'm not going to write back to anyone who's shouting at me over an email. It's just that simple. It's called being polite.
I believe my email to you was polite, the one I did not get a response to. And as for the 500 names on the petition.
I never got that. Never saw that.
You never saw it?
Okay, that was fine. That was fine.
Thank you very much. Next up is Don Goldmacher.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I want to thank Quincy McCoy for his fabulous, as always, presentation about the state of KPFA. And I want to speak for a moment more about Quincy's amazing leadership over the past 6 years at this station. I would venture to say two things. Number one, he's the most gifted and talented general manager that the network has seen in the last several decades at any station. And number two, were it not for his leadership and skill set here, and not only stabilizing KPFA, but really moving it into the 21st century as quickly as possible, I think that this entire network would have been down the drain, because we continue to generate not only sufficient revenues for this station, but for other stations across the network. And you know who I'm talking about. And so I just want to personally thank Quincy for everything he has done for the Pacifica and KPFA community here in the Bay Area, and thank God he has been here. He has been a gift and a treasure. And I would just say one other quick thing, that for people who have not served on boards before, the purpose of coming on to a board, whether it's an advisory board, an LSB, or a Pacifica National Board, is to really assist our managers, not to keep challenging them over and over and over again about why you did this, why didn't you do that, how come you did that, and oh my God. So if we're not here pulling the same way, then it tells me some people's objective is not to grow KPFA and Pacifica. It's rather to use this little model of, we can have amateur hour on all of our stations run by amateur programmers. And I think we have a lovely mix here at KPFA of both professional programming and volunteer programming. And I think that's where we need to keep going. and keep building. Thanks so much, Quincy.
Thank you, Donald. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Philip is up next. Philip, unmute yourself, I think.
There we go. Again, many thanks to you, Quincy. I have been around for, I can't count the number of managers I've been around for. It's probably 15, and you're among the best, and you are much appreciated. I want to go back to the fact that we've eliminated all those premiums and replaced it with the option of having 10% of people's contribution going to food banks. KPFA has turned itself into a mail order house with books and CDs and clothing and paraphernalia and that you can't imagine how much work it is to box all that stuff up and send it out to the right person after they paid their bill. My question is, are we saving oodles of money by eliminating premiums? And do you think we can eliminate them forever? Not only saving money of purchasing and mailing these premiums, but the people power it takes to box them up and keep track of all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's saving us a ton, Donald. It's saving us a ton, Philip. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to move in that direction. When you look at the budget, you see where premiums are costing. As much as they help us during the drives, we have to pay for them. And it's costing us a lot of money to do that. So we've been trying to move slowly in this direction. We started experimenting with Mitch and a couple of people just going on and just pitching the radio station, what we're all about, our history, so forth and so on, and what we're doing, the kind of work that we do. And it was paying off for us. And we said, that's the direction we want to go. Will we get away totally from premiums? What we're trying to do is become more 21st century in almost all things, and especially premiums. So we're probably going to still do some premiums when we can do digital downloads, things like that, where we don't have to do any mailings, where people can just be able to go get the link and download the product, and they're good to go. I mean, but if there's some killer documentary produced by Donald Goldmacher, we'll probably still jump on that one. But other than that, but even that could be a download. So that's what we're looking to. We're trying to figure out a way not to be mailing stuff, not to have a lot of people working around all the stuff that's mailed and the stuff that's returned because the addresses are wrong. All that money, we're skipping over that. And I think it's going to save us a lot of money. And come October, before October, sitting down, going over the budget, we're going to be able to show where we've saved more money, just like we did on the phones last year. So when we got our phone system up to the 21st century, and we saved about $125,000. So that's what we're working on. Yeah, good question. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, and Janine.
Yeah, hi, Quincy. Thank you for your report. Wondering if we will be implementing staff meetings anytime soon?
It's a good question. We're trying to come up with a new way to do it through the 21st century again. I mean, we don't know when the building's going to be fully open again, or it may not happen for quite some time. So the prospects of doing some sort of Zoom meetings is one of the things that we're thinking about doing, trying to figure out a format for that. We've been talking about that. That's why I have my picture up and you don't see me, because my eyes hurt. Me and Zoom don't get along. And looking at and having Zoom meetings with the team while all of this has been going on, trying to figure out a way that we might be able to do something like that through Zoom or Google Meet or something like that, be the best way to do it moving forward for a while. And then how to schedule them so that we can get people to show up. We're kind of working it through Antonio's operations department, the way they're scheduling training and stuff. We're thinking, well, maybe if we schedule staff meeting when we have certain people come at certain times and we have an agenda and we go over what we need to go over, and people can talk and ask questions, stuff like that. So we're working on that, and we're trying to figure out a way to get that instituted. I'll be a lot clearer on that probably after I finish talking to Netta about the HR plan that they're instituting about trying to slowly opening up the radio station and the things that we'll have to do physically there to make sure there's still social distancing and wearing masks and all the other stuff, all these different rules.
Thank you. Well, don't see any other questions up there. So thank you very much for your report, Quincy. I want to let everyone know that we will be sending his report to everybody on the board in written form. So you will all get a copy of it to review later on after the meeting. We'll send it out. And
bye-bye. Bye-bye, people.
Okay, thanks very much.
See you all. Bye. Take care. Stay well. Take care. Stay well.
Okay. We're up to public comments now. So I would ask people who want to make public comments to please raise their hands.
Can you remind Christina how people to raise their hand if they're on the phone?
Press the raise hand. First you could press participants if you're on Zoom. And on the right-hand corner, you would press raise hand, which is down in the lower portion of that. And then if you're on the phone, you would press *9 to raise your hand. So I'm seeing people are
okay. Can I just say, we have a 30-minute time limit for this. So I'm not sure what is the time I should, you know, time people for. What I don't know exactly how many people are going to speak. So we need to have a slight discussion about that.
Right. It looks like there's quite a few. How many of us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I had a question. How many minutes did we spend on Quincy's report and questions total? Did someone keep track of that?
I didn't keep track of it, but it was scheduled for 45 minutes, and I believe that's about what we spent, and there wasn't any more questions, so.
That's correct. We may have even gone over, I think, actually.
I think we went over 45 minutes.
Yeah. I wasn't keeping track. Sorry. I've got a lot going on, so I didn't.
Nobody asked you to time it, Sharon, so don't worry.
Okay.
As a friendly suggestion, you could start with just saying 2 minutes for public comment. And if that's less than 30 minutes, give people a chance to speak again. Just let it go run over. Okay. But that would probably get through everybody.
I agree.
Okay. Did you say, Sharon, do you think that would?
2 minutes. Okay.
Good. 2 minutes. And the first person is Carlos.
Can I just say, let me just say before so people don't accuse me of interrupting people. I'm going to time people. When it gets to about 10 seconds, I'm going to put my phone up to the screen so people will know. We do let people finish their thoughts. But we do try to also keep to the time.
Yeah, we never get through the meeting if we didn't do that. So
Christina, this is Susan. Could you say how to raise your hand one more time? Because I see people trying to raise their hand on the video. They don't have their hand raised.
Okay.
So say it slowly.
Okay. On the screen on the very bottom bar, there is it's marked participants. You would click on participants. And that should bring a box up on the right-hand side, a menu, and then you go over to the bottom of that box and you click on raise hand. That's how you raise your hand. If you're calling by phone, you would press *9, and that would be the way you raise your hand if you just have a phone. So we'll go ahead and move forward. Carlos Cohan.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to try to be brief. The shorter, the better. First of all, I want to thank KPFA, all of the staff and all of you guys. We need the station at this time more than ever, probably. And the work that the station has been doing, and I'm sorry Quincy left, but I wanted him to hear that. I really want to thank all the whole staff and the amount of time and passion that you guys put on this. I've been a listener and a member for over 20 years, and I really love the station. Number two, I understand that there are serious financial problems, and I'm not sure I understand the whole story. I'm going to be very brief. As I understand, as I heard, the KPFA assets, including the building, are at risk, and they are under control by the Pacifica board. I also understand that the debts from WBAI have been nationalized, and so they are also under the control of the Pacifica board. I'm very, very worried and concerned that we may get to whenever the loan is due and all of a sudden we will be in a huge, huge crisis. So all I'm saying is to me, that's unacceptable. We are a successful station and we shouldn't risk our station because of mismanagement of other ones. I know you probably all agree with that. So I'm begging you to think outside the box. I have many ideas. I wrote like a 5-page document I'm going to send to Quincy. The document was actually ideas on how to raise money, but I'll probably write a short one on this issue specifically. And the last comment, well, not the last comment on this topic is, please find a way to inform KPFA listeners if we are in trouble financially. There are many people that may have great ideas and are maybe willing to help. And finally, the last point.
Okay, sorry, that was time. I was having difficulty with my time.
Oh, I was hoping I had a few more seconds. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And we take what you're to heart, what you said, definitely. Thank you. Susie's iPad is up next.
So, hi. There are two of us here that would like to make some comments. I am a former local station board member, and I want to say that hearing a report from Quincy was quite remarkable to me, because I was on the board when there were other managers. So I was very impressed to hear what he's talked about. I'm thrilled with how the station has done so many good changes, I think, to the whole morning. And I pretty much listen from early morning to about, 1 o'clock. And I'm very happy. And it's been an amazing experience to experience what is going on right now with the pandemic and how good the coverage has been. It's just been remarkable. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Okay, just to clarify, Susie, do you want to do your second person's 2 minutes now?
Yeah, he's right here. I'm right here.
All right, I'm going to reset and go for it.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Amy Hallio, and we've been members for many years, and we really, really appreciate the work that Quincy's done, the changes, the stabilizing the finances. I'm quite upset. I echo what Carlos said about the finances. Mm-hmm. And KPFA should not have to carry the burden of the whole Pacifica network. And the fiasco with WBAI is extremely upsetting. And I also agree with my brother-in-law, Dr. Donald Goldmacher, that if you're coming on the station board, you are there to support the managers and not to push your own agenda and do community programming. We have amazing, amazing staff at KPFA. We really appreciate them. They're responsive to the community and bring us news that you don't get anywhere else. And I will cede the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.